Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Alameda. Appreciate you guys taking time out and try to cover this Raider team here. You know, around this time of the year, I really don't like to talk a whole lot to you guys because you guys love information and you know I'm not going to give it to you. I really want to, but the other 31 teams will have a field day, and I don't think I want to let that happen. But guys, with that being said, I'm here for you guys. Let's talk about this Raider team and where we going.
What kind of action are you getting from teams that want to move up? Are they ringing phone off the hook to see what it's going to take to get that pick?
Yeah. I will say this, you know, about action and how much. We just feeling around right now. There's nothing is concrete, but people are just peripheral conversations.
How do you weigh whether to take that pick at number three as opposed to trading it and maybe getting back in the second round?
You know what? It's whichever deal is going to help the Raiders the most. And if it's staying there and taking the pick, we'll weigh that versus what's on the floor, you know, what is being offered. And in some cases, the offer may be too, you know, too good to pass up. So, you know, that's going to depend. It really will.
Some teams use the chart of the value of the pick. Do you use that, or is it more just
Well, all the above. I mean, you go when you're making the trades. You defer to the chart, but really is what your gut telling you what you would take if you don't stay with that pick. So yes, it definitely is going to depends on who's there. We'll factor in major.
It's safe to say that you're not calling to see what you can get for the pick. Other teams are calling you.
Exactly. That's safe to say.
You hear about players moving up and down the draft board. How much of that is true? How much is that just media hype?
You know what? I would think most of it is media hype because some of the so-called insiders are talking to certain personnel people or coaches, and they get information, which a lot of times around it, about this time, it's not truthful information, so you got to take that with a grain of salt, and you know, you just stay true to what you have on your board, you know. And I'm sure every team is doing that.
Reggie, how much do you weigh that once you're on the clock, that maybe the good deals have dried up, or more teams will be more desperate as time ticks away?
Well, I'm not going to worry too much about it. You know, we're picking third, and when our time comes, we'll make the best decision for the Raiders. I'm not going to worry too much about what one and two are doing. Now, of course, they got the first and second choice, so we get the third choice. Now, who they like compared to who we like, nobody knows. But, we'll just sit there and wait and we're not going to worry about the other two.
Reggie, you obviously inherited a team. A lot of players have been cut. At what point does the roster begin to – is it fair to say it reflects your personality and your staff's personality or your philosophy when it comes to the team?
Well, the totality of it, I don't – you know, that's going to be ongoing. But it started, you know, when I got here, to be honest with you. What I had to do with the roster. So when do you see it start its transformation? Hopefully this season. That's my hope. So you got a good off season and another draft, and things are coming in place. Got a new coaching staff as far as the four coaches that we swapped out. So, you know, hopefully it begins to show this year.
How do you balance the input from the scouts who have been following these guys for years, even probably for some of them, versus the coaches who are a little newer to this in terms of when they start following these college guys? How do you balance that?
Well, you take into account a whole lot of what the scouts tell you. That's the way I've been taught, and that's the way I believe is the right way to do it. You get the input from not only the coaches, but my in-house scouts also. And when you're talking about comparing and contrasting with our own personnel around the league, that's to determine the value of the player and what the player can and can't do in this league. So you value all information, but the information that the scouts give us, that information is vital.
You have your own scouting department in place now. Last year you came in with an existing scouting department,
right,
which had to be, you know, not ideal, but you made it work. But now you have, a first-round pick, you have your own scouts in place. What difference do you think that makes, and how much, when you have a guy like Sean Herrock next to you, who you worked with for 19 years,
mm-hmm.
and you guys talk about a single player and compare him to somebody else and immediately have a reference to what,
And that's what it is. It's a commonality of it. It's not who can do this and who can do that, because some of the guys were here last year. They were good. I mean, but it's the guys that I brought on board. There is a common denominator of we know each other, and we know what each other like. We know the players, the type of players that it would take to not only to win, but to produce at each position. So the conversations probably are quicker, and trying to get a feel for what Sean is explaining to me on a particular player. I kind of know the kind of player he likes. So from that standpoint, it's easier.
When you look at staying put or possibly trading down, how much do you weigh the need for an impact player? Obviously, I think you guys need an impact player. Would you agree with that?
I would think every team needs an impact player at some point. Yes, we are. We will. We do weigh the importance of trying to find an impact player. Absolutely. Well, the key is drafting the best player. I don't think you can't draft for need, especially in the first round. I think you draft the best player. You try to fill that need down the line. You can't do that.
When you draft the best player available, do you look at a player who's the best at one particular specific position, or with the roster being unsettled the way it is versatility play?
Well, versatility will, but if he's versatile and not great at anything, that versatility is average. You don't want that. I want to try to get somebody that can change the game. It's a difference maker. No matter what position, if he can make a difference, that's the one you want. Instead of a solid player, solid, versatile player versus a difference maker, you take the difference maker.
Reggie, you have to act like you're interested in every player for teams like in Geno Smith, a Jokel, or a Fisher if they fall to you. Is that sometimes hard to put on the hat that you want everybody
then? The poker face, huh? It is, because it's obvious that you like certain players more than others. You can go and ask every scout in the room, you probably get a favorite player that differs from the other. So, but that's the fun part of this job, is try to get all those opinions and come to a common goal to choose one, you know.
With all the changes on the roster, the well-publicized amount of dead money that you have under the cap, and there's a perception out there that this is almost an expansion team. I mean, is it realistic to think that this team could compete this year? And do sometimes the weighing against what you need to be competitive now, what you need to be competitive for in the future, do those things pull against each other?
I don't think so. I think we're trying to compete now. Now, how do that result? It's going to depend on the players' performance on the field. But we're trying to add players that can help this team win, help this team compete. We're going into this season to win ball games. You can call it expansion. I mean, it's a lot of different faces. I agree with that. But to say that we're just going to take our lumps and play ball, that's not the goal here. The goal here is to compete each and every week and win games. And we'll see how that goes from training camp on. But the start is now, and the moves that we had to make, we made them, and we will continue to make them through training camp.
The highest profile move, Reggie, is the new quarterback, Matt Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the presumptive starter? Is he the starter once OTAs begin? Where is that right now?
Well, as we begin the OTA period, we're going to begin with Matt Flynn. Now, the quarterbacks who would be on the roster from that point on, they will all compete. So, and like I said, guys, at every position, it's all about getting players that can play and competing.
What about Matt from your time in Green Bay? Makes you believe he obviously hasn't played a lot, but what from you learned with him in Green Bay?
Well, two things that I feel is important, and that's presence as far as leadership and knowing how to move a team down the field, and knowing how to do it. He has all the intangibles, and I think he can play the position. He can throw the ball, and I think he's going to be a solid quarterback. Now, how good can he be? We'll figure that out, you know. But I think he got a chance to be a good solid quarterback. You know, he hadn't played a lot of games, so that's what's ahead of him. To see how he plays, you know. So he'll get in here and compete and try to see if he can show his team and coaches.